Welcome. This is Cheryl at the Talking Information Center. Thanks so much for joining me. Today is Thursday, April 9th, 2026. I'm reading from the Taunton Daily Gazette. The first article is entitled, Taunton Revokes Gas License, Owners Sue City. The Taunton City Council voted to pull the license of a defunct Route 44 gas station. On the same day, the business sued the city. Planet Petroleum, located at 274 Winthrop Street, Taunton, no longer sells gas to the public. Instead, operates as an auto repair shop. They were recently ordered to remove gas tanks previously used to sell fuel to the public from their property. Councillor Barry Sanders, who was one of eight who voted to revoke the license at a March 31 City Council meeting, cited the required removal of the tanks as a reason for revoking the license. Councillor Ed Carrera was the lone vote against revoking the license. Also on March 31st, Planet Petroleum's owners and brothers, Kali Dubi and Malad Dubai, filed a lawsuit against the city of Taunton. Ted Pitnick, a lawyer for the two brothers, said that there's a real issue about civil rights violation. The council's decision to revoke the license is the latest setback facing Dubi and Dabab. On March 9th, the State Fire Prevention Regulation Appeals Board ruled that underground storage tanks at 274 Winthrop Street needed to be removed. Here's what we know about the conflict between Planet Petroleum and the city. Why Deputy Fire Chief wanted the license revoked. Taunton Deputy Fire Chief Robert Bastis spoke at the City Council meeting, said that since the gas storage tanks are required to be removed, there is no longer any basis for 274 Winthrop Street to have a fuel storage and dispensing license. Dabib argued against revoking the license. Compared the decision to revoking a driver's license of someone who could not drive temporarily due to an injury, but who may regain the ability to drive later. What's the point of not having that license? It's like if you're driving. We all can drive. You can break your leg. You're going to lose your license to drive. Your leg can be fixed, he said. The business located at 274 Winthrop Street used to be called Planet Petroleum. However, it's now called K&M Auto Repair. Condition of gas storage tanks. Ultimately, the City Council did not make any formal decision about the gas tanks located at 274 Winthrop Street, as the decision in that matter had been made by the State Fire Prevention Appeals Board. However, the condition of the tanks was discussed extensively at the City Council meeting. Dabib testified at a State Fire Prevention Appeals Board hearing that there have been no new gas deliveries to the tanks since 2017, according to a copy of the Appeals Board ruling. Dabib also testified he stopped selling gas to the public in 2017, and that he used any remaining gas for personal use. Bastis, on the other hand, said the tanks presented serious environmental and safety concerns. He also said that gas loses its effectiveness as fuel when it's stored for long periods of time. Gasoline is unstable. Almost immediately when it's stored, it starts to break down, he said. Fuel that's been sitting for months or years is really no longer usable. It's not usable for its intended purpose. Bastis said that gasoline contains ethanol, which absorbs water over time if it's left in place, and that it can cause corrosion and thus cause damage to the tanks that store it. Could tanks be filled rather than excavated? Pitnick, lawyer representing the two brothers, said his clients wanted to fill the tanks with some sort of material rather than excavate and remove them. filling it in is something that would take significantly less money. Would not disrupt his business, said Pietnik. This particular lot is not that big. If they have to dig up the tanks, they have to put all the dirt off to the side. He has cars that he works on. There would not be room for the cars. But Bastis said that while in some cases tanks can be filled in rather than excavated, that's only an option when excavating the tanks is unsafe to do, which he said isn't true in this case. Filling in the tank would be if the tank is under the building or there's some sort of structural safety consideration, said Bastis. For this location, the fire department would not allow closure in place. TMLP was allowed to close a couple of tanks in place decades ago, and it wasn't closed properly, he said. We ended up with a significant leak, oil in the Taunton River. The building ultimately ended up having to come down. That's how significant of an issue it was. Brothers file lawsuit. On the same day as the city council hearing, the two brothers filed a lawsuit against the city. The next hearing for that lawsuit is scheduled for April 7th. There's a real issue about a civil rights violation, said Pietnik. But the city's attorney, Lisa Bond, said the Pietnik was using scare tactics. The lawsuit alleged that prejudicial statements had been made against the two brothers by Dick Schaefer, who's the Economic Development Director of the Taunton Industrial Development Commission, which is part of the city's Office of Economic and Community Development, according to the city's website. Schaefer didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. Bond, in response to questions about any alleged statements by Schaefer, said the city cannot comment on ongoing litigation. Rainham Barbecue Restaurant opening Taunton location. Is there such a thing as too much barbecue? A popular barbecue joint from Rainham will soon have a second location in Taunton. Two Jerks Barbecue is opening up a new spot at the former McGrath's Cafe in Taunton, located at 123 West Water Street. After several months of conversations and coordination, the Rainham-based award-winning barbecue spot has committed to bringing its popular restaurant to this long vacant property overlooking the Taunton River, directly across from the newly renovated Walker Park, said Jay Petikos, executive director of the Taunton Office of Economic and Community Development, in a post from the official city of Taunton's social media. Petico said renovations have just started in the building space, with the owners of Two Jerks shooting for a late summer opening. McGrath's Cafe shut down during the pandemic, back in September 2020. The space has been vacant ever since, said Petico. Petico added the location was originally bought, going to reopen as a new restaurant, Coco Grill and Lounge, back in 2025. But that project didn't come to fruition in that space due to high cost of repairs and renovation. Petico said his office has spent the better part of the past year marketing the restaurant space, with the deal with Two Jerks Barbecue being finalized recently. Said Petico, we're thrilled that Two Jerks Barbecue saw the potential. A popular barbecue restaurant. Since opening in Rainham back in 2015, Two Jerks Barbecue, located at 701 Broadway, the Southern barbecue-inspired place, has been a popular restaurant in the region. Not even a grease fire in May 2020 that nearly burned down the building, nor the hardships and uncertainties the COVID-19 pandemic brought for many restaurants were strong enough to shut down Two Jerks Barbecue permanently. Brothers co-owners John and Chris DePalma, along with their father and co-owner Tom, found ways to adapt during this period, as well as even expand operations include more menu items and even open its own marketplace. Authenticity and the quest to make the perfect barbecue remain the mission at Two Jerks, as told when the restaurant was voted Best Barbecue in the Brockton Area by Enterprise Readers in 2025. I'm chasing that unicorn, the perfect brisket, the perfect rib. The challenge is what keeps me doing it, said John DePalma in the June 2025 Enterprise article. When will Two Jerks open in Taunton? Petico said the owners are working for an opening of Two Jerks Barbecue in Taunton this August. He also said, unlike the main location in Raynham, which is open from Tuesday through Saturday, the Taunton location has plans to be open 7 days a week. Smoked chicken wings are cooking at Two Jerks Barbecue and Market, 701 Broadway, Raynham, on April 7th, 2021. In international news, U.S.-Iran declare win with ceasefire. A two-week ceasefire between the United States and Iran is underway, following an 11th-hour deal struck just before a deadline imposed by President Donald Trump, who threatened to wipe out a whole civilization if Iran did not capitulate to U.S. demands. The proposal, brokered by Pakistan, led both sides to declare victory. Pentagon Chief Pete Hegseth called the U.S. military campaign on Iran a historic and overwhelming victory, said also that the U.S. armed forces achieved every military objective, including the destruction of Iran's navy, air force, and weapons manufacturing infrastructure. Iran's Supreme National Security Council also claimed victory, saying the United States and Israel were forced to accept Tehran's 10-point plan. Trump on April 8th said the United States will work closely with Iran and that there are many points of agreement. Hegseth added, the American military has done its part for now, but remains ready to resume attacks if Iran violates the ceasefire. Officials from Pakistan announced late on April 7th, parties involved will head to the country's capital of Islamabad on April 10th to work out a lasting peace. Both parties have displayed remarkable wisdom and understanding and have remained constructively engaged in furthering the cause of peace and stability, Pakistan's Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif said in a statement, a fragile truce. Trump declared the truce a big day for world peace, added the ceasefire will allow Iran to begin the reconstruction process. There will be lots of positive action, Trump said in a social media post early on April 8th. Big money will be made. Vice President J.D. Vance said elements of the Iranian regime are lying about the nature of the ceasefire. The Trump administration agreed to, and the truce is a fragile one. You have people who clearly want to come to the negotiating table, work with us to find a good deal. And then you have people who are lying about even the fragile truce that we've already struck, Vance said while traveling overseas in Hungary on April 8th. Despite Iran claiming victory and saying Trump agreed to Tehran's demands, Vance said the United States has achieved its military objectives and is ready to stop attacks if Iran opens the Strait of Hormuz and stops trying to hold the world's economy hostage. That's exactly the agreement we came to last night, said Vance. Strait of Hormuz. Yet, there are questions about what the agreement means for the strait, through which 20% of the world's oil passes. Iran's foreign minister, in a statement agreeing to the ceasefire, said ships will be allowed to pass through the strait, through coordination with Iran's armed forces, which indicates Iran would have control over the strait, which wasn't the case before the war. Trump told ABC News on April 8th the United States could be involved in a joint venture with Iran to charge tolls on ships transiting the strait. We're thinking of doing it as a joint venture. It's a way of securing it. Also, securing it from lots of other people, said Trump. U.S. stock index futures climbed on April 8th as investors breathed a sigh of relief, sending crude prices lower on expectations that energy supplies through the strait could resume. Enriched uranium tariff threats. Trump and Hegseth both said on April 8th, Iran will hand over its enriched uranium and give up future enrichment, though Tehran has repeatedly reaffirmed its right to enrich. Hegseth said either Iran will give up its enriched uranium or we'll get it. He said another military strike like Operation Midnight Hammer, the bombing last June of Iran's nuclear facilities, was not off the table. Iran's enriched uranium is buried. We're watching it, Hegseth said. We know exactly what they have, and they know that. Iran will either give it to us or we have to do something else ourselves, like we did Midnight Hammer or something like that. We reserve the opportunity. Trump also threatened to impose 50% tariffs on countries who supply Iran with weapons. There will be no exclusions or exemptions, Trump said on social media. The tariff threat is aimed at preventing Iran, which is allied with major military powers, such as China and Russia, from rebuilding its military. Does ceasefire include Lebanon? Israel supports the ceasefire, but said it does not include a pause on fighting against Iran-backed Hezbollah in Lebanon, according to a statement from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office. A series of Israeli strikes were reported in Lebanon's capital of Beirut on April 8th. Meanwhile, Pakistan's Sharif announced late April 7th that Lebanon is included in the deal to cease hostilities. With the greatest humility, I am pleased to announce that the Islamic Republic of Iran and the United States of America, along with their allies, have agreed to an immediate ceasefire everywhere, including Lebanon, elsewhere, effective immediately, said Sharif. At least 1,500 people have been killed, and about 1.2 million others have been displaced in Lebanon, where Israeli forces have mounted a massive invasion of the southern part of the country amid its fight against Iran's ally, Hezbollah. The war, which the United States launched jointly with Israel back on February 28th, killed 13 American service members and thousands of Iranians, including and according to initial estimates. The U.S. military said it has so far hit more than 13,000 targets, including about 80% of the country's air defense systems. General Dan Kane, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said at an April 8th news briefing following the ceasefire, the United States sank 150 Iranian ships, comprising more than 90% of the country's naval fleet and half of its small attack boats, according to Kane. Pope praises Iran truce. Pope Leo, on April 8th, asked the world to join him in this moment of delicate diplomacy with prayer, in hopes that a willingness to dialogue may become the means to resolve other conflict situations in the world as well. The Pope, in a post on X, also announced a vigil set for 6 p.m. local time on April 11th at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. In the wake of these hours of great tension for the Middle East and the entire world, I welcome with satisfaction and as a sign of living hope the announcement of an immediate 2-week truce. Only by returning to negotiations can the war come to an end. Taunton YMCA starts mentoring group for young men. A mentoring group of young men, ages 13 to 18, meets in Taunton. The group called MALE, which stands for Motivated, Achievers, Learners, Emerging, meets from 7:30 to 7 p.m. every Tuesday at the Taunton YMCA, located at 71 Kohanet Street, according to a community announcement. The program aims to build confidence, trust, and leadership. Through workshops, activities, field trips, participants will grow together in a safe space that encourages support, personal development, and brotherhood. The YMCA's Family Resource Centers support families and individuals in resolving challenges and strengthening their bonds. The centers offer services for families with children who may be frequently absent from school, have serious problems at home or at school, have run away or are being exploited. FRC staff assesses the needs of family members and recommends appropriate services, as well as assist with access to other community resources. Since their inception, Family Resource Centers have served more than 50,000 family members. Taunton's Family Resource Center is located at 37 Main Street. For more information, or to RSVP for the Male Mentoring Group, contact Gabriel at GPEREZ at oldcolonyymca.org or call 774-501-2633, extension 108. New Providence Bank branch opens 75,000 in nonprofit grants. Bristol County Savings Bank, which is headquartered in Taunton, marked the official grand opening of its downtown Providence branch on March 27th with a ribbon-cutting ceremony and the awarding of $75,000 in grants to Rhode Island nonprofit organizations, according to a community announcement. The branch, located at 5 Exchange Street in the Homewood Suites building, began serving customers earlier this year, with the ceremony recognizing its formal launch and the bank's continued expansion in Rhode Island. As part of the celebration, the Bristol County Savings Charitable Foundation awarded three $25,000 grants to the Greater Providence YMCA, Crossroads, Rhode Island, and the Rhode Island Black Business Association. Leaders from each organization accepted the grants during the event, from Jeff Bradley, the bank's senior vice president and senior community relations officer and clerk of the Charitable Foundation. Bank president and CEO John Silva said the new location reflects the institution's long-term commitment to the state and its communities. Our downtown Providence branch enhances our ability to serve this vibrant community. We are proud to mark the occasion by supporting organizations that are making a meaningful difference across the state, said Silva, according to the announcement. The Providence branch operates under the leadership of Desmond Ranglin, Vice President and Regional Branch Manager, a longtime Rhode Island resident. The office expands the bank's retail banking footprint in the state under Francine Ferguson, first Senior Vice President of Retail Banking. The downtown Providence office adds to Bristol County's Saving Bank's existing Rhode Island presence, which includes branches in Greenville, Pawtucket, and Cumberland, as well as a community lending center at 359 Broad Street that opened in November 2025. In business news, SpaceX's listing could drown out IPO market. Experts, broader revival for deals may be delayed. As Elon Musk's SpaceX closes, in on a $75 billion IPO that could rewrite record books, concerns are mounting that others looking to list in 2026 may find it harder to get deals done under the shadow of the space venture's headline-grabbing debut. U.S. markets, prized for their depth, face a critical test as more than half a dozen analysts and industry experts told Reuters that the SpaceX deal would likely absorb an outsized share of investor demand, squeezing out other hopefuls. History tells us that a mega IPO like SpaceX can suck up the oxygen in the market. We saw that with Facebook in 2012, said Matt Kennedy, a senior strategist at Renaissance Capital, a provider of IPO-focused research and ETFs. IPOs are a major marketing event. Companies wouldn't want the noise from a SpaceX offering to drown out coverage of their own deals. So, listing activity may die down a bit during the weeks surrounding the SpaceX IPO. Companies have waited years on the sidelines for favorable IPO conditions after a prolonged dry spell. A listing like SpaceX, with its celebrity billionaire CEO, hot industry, and deep-pocketed backers, could have provided the jolt others need to push ahead. Instead, its sheer scale threatens to overshadow others, with Wall Street banks and investors pouring a majority of their attention and money into the operator of the Starlink constellation of satellites. 35 IPOs have prized so far this year, according to data from Renaissance Capital, down 37.5% from a year earlier. Well, that ends our segment for today. Thanks again for joining me, and I wish you a wonderful week ahead.